Welcome to part four of our series entitled Life, Money, and Hope. And it's good to see you all here today. Let me pause, as I always like to do in this part of our service, and say a warm welcome to all those who are joining us online. We're so glad to have you here today from wherever, whatever part of the world you're in right now. We're glad to have you part of this worship experience. Come on, can we just welcome all those that join us each week online? So glad you're here. Wow, I just want to know, is anybody having fun at Cross Point today? Isn't this awesome? I tell you what, you look good, and I just want to say how thankful I am for each and every one of you. Kim and I, my family, we just like to express how much we appreciate each and every one of you. Words fail us to be able to express that, how we truly mean it. We're so grateful, so thankful that, you know, we get to do this. We were up here working one night in the church and doing some things. And I said, isn't this great? We get to do this. We get to do this. And so we just honestly, I think it's an honor and a privilege to be able to serve you and just to be a part of what God is doing in our city and what God has called us to do together to make a difference for eternity's sake. Man, it's just something bigger than us. And it's just awesome to be a part of this. And we're just so grateful, so grateful. I'd also like to pause here, as my son alluded to, just got to give a shout out for we're located, guys, across the street from this campus, and we're a part of this community, part of this city, but a great part also of us is this campus, and we were there last night to see UNC Charlotte beat the number one team ranked number one in their conference, beat Marshall. Come on, everybody. It was awesome. And if you know anything about it, when it's fourth down and 10, and you go for it, and you score a touchdown, put it away. Come on, that's just great. In the pouring down rain. And let me also, along with that, give a shout out of the band. You know, I'm always, you know, I got the band heart. Listen, we're not band geeks. We're band cool. I'm just telling you right now. I'm telling you, it's the truth. We're band cool. I don't care what you think. You know, those of you who weren't in a band, you don't understand. We're the coolest on campus. Anyhow, I know that, there you go, pride of Niner Nation Marching Band. We had some band members there just doing it. I mean, just, it was awesome, just amazing performance. But also, one of those members that's part of our church, part of our dream team, Josh Went, his senior performance last night. I think that's his last performance. I don't think it's your last because we're now going to a bowl game, right? So we got one more in the thing. So I just want to give a shout out to him. And with that, let me just say that his folks are here from New Jersey. We're so glad to have them here today as our guests. So glad. Been praying for them. They're such a blessing. And y'all know Josh well. He has brought the word and shared here, and he serves on our production team. He also has led one of our college groups here, and we're just so thankful for him and proud of him. He's graduating in May, and we're saying, Mom and Dad, may we keep him because we really like him. So anyway, we're so thankful. Well, listen, let's get into part four of our series, and today is going to be very different, very interesting. So I want to just sort of kind of recap as we get and unpack this last installment of this series. Week one, we talked about money, and really it was a money message, and talking about how about good financial management, basic principles, and also took that beyond just the numbers, the financial numbers. We went and we titled that installment Beyond the Numbers, because God wants something more than just us to live in financial numbers, but there's a spiritual principle that we talked about. I encourage you, if you missed that, go online, check that one out. And that's there on our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. You listed that again. Also, message notes are there. You can look at that thoroughly. Week two, we also talked about how no matter how hard you try, life delivers sometimes us into a dark place, or what we sometimes call a financial black hole. And interestingly, whether we're talking about finance or talking about life in general, how you get there and how you get out is the same. It's the same principle, so it relates to all of life. So this isn't just a money series, but it's about life and money, and also giving you hope with that. Last week, we talked about intentional giving, and we launched the initiative of what we get to do. We do all year long, but especially this time of year, we get to be a part of doing some things intentionally that really this season presents to us. And one, I want to just mention those very quickly that we talked about last week for those of you that might have missed the opportunities that are before us this time of year. And one of the first things I want to mention is our legacy offering. We have designated Sunday, December the 15th, as our legacy offering Sunday. And it's an opportunity where we have to receive an offering from you, and that we can take that offering and we're going to give that away. So it doesn't stay in this house. It's all of it to go outside this house and make a difference in the life of somebody else. We've actually selected a church that has gone through some things this year, similar to some things we've gone through as a church. And I just think it would be just an awesome idea to take what God has blessed us with and bless them and see them then, you know, just sow into that field and see God bless them as a church. And so I want to encourage you that one of the reasons we want to put this out ahead of time is that, you know, we're not about compulsive giving and where you feel, you know, manipulated or, you know, and kind of emotional. You didn't really plan on giving, but, you know, they tugged on my heartstrings and therefore I gave. And that can be okay from time to time, but we want to present this as something that you do intentional, that you pray about, that you talk with your family, your wife, your husband about, and you decide what do we feel that God would have us to do in this legacy offering. So we want to give that special emphasis. We'll talk about that each week as we lead up to this Sunday, December 15th, so that you can be prepared and together, come on, it's exciting, together we can make a difference. Amen. And so I also want to mention, as we're talking about encouraging another church, on that same Sunday afternoon, we're going to take this church and we're going to go on the road. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we've decided that we're going to visit another church and we're going to be an encouragement to them and support them in their Christmas musical. It's going to be at Northside Baptist Church. There in your worship guide, you'll find an insert that will tell you about the details of that. It goes from 4 to 5:30. And I just think it would be a great encouragement to take our church and go over there and be a part of what they're doing and be able to encouragement. And also, it's going to be a blessing. We're going to receive some great things as we talk, as we look at that. And let's see, it's Welcome. It's called Welcome to Bethlehem, musical stage play for Christmas. So be sure and mark that on your calendar as well. And then after that, after we're through there, we're going to swing by Culver's and we're going to have hamburgers and chicken sandwiches and whatever you want. But have you ever tried their ice cream? Anyway, if you haven't, you need to try their ice cream. We'll talk any more about that because it's too close to lunchtime. Okay, so another thing we talked about last week was our acts of kindness cards. I want to encourage you, get a fistful of those. They're in the lobby when you leave. You can use these to make a difference in the life of someone, pay for somebody's meal behind you in line. Use it however, you know, there's some creative ways we could share with you. We talked a little bit about that before, how that you could take these acts of kindness cards and do random acts of kindness for people in this season. You know, when everybody's at each other's throat, you know, and blowing horns and get out of my way. No, we're going to be out there making a difference and showing kindness, and we're going to always connect it to God. So use those cards. Let me also mention one other opportunity that's before us, and that's our Crosspoint Christmas, which will be our Sunday morning service, this time slot on December the 22nd. And this is an opportunity to bring somebody to this service. A lot of times we've had in the past our service like this on a Sunday evening. We've decided to just let it be right here in this Sunday morning slot. So we're going to have candlelight service on Sunday morning, and it's going to be spectacular. You don't want to miss that. And I encourage you to invite somebody to come and bring them with you and let them see God do something spectacular in their life. Well, today is the final installment in this series of Life, Money, and Hope. And I want to encourage you to take your worship guide there, and there's some fill in the blanks, and there's a lot of space there for you to take a bunch of notes. So I want to encourage you to take some notes. If you're a note taker, you know, write some things down. And if you're not a note taker, write some things down, okay? Because it's going to help you as we go through this. Let me right up front give some major credit to a pastor by the name of Robert Morris, who is the pastor of Gateway Church in the Dallas Metroplex, Dallas area. And he is a phenomenal speaker when it comes to this topic that we're going to talk about today. In fact, some of you remember a previous series that we had some time back. I asked our clerk who should bring this type of a message. Our clerk is also, by the way, our clerk is secretary treasurer, for if you know more familiar with that term. He's also our worship pastor. And I invited Dwayne to bring this message. And I shared with him, you know, where to glean from. And he gleaned so much, he just got up here and said, guys, I'm just going to share the video. And he actually shared a video. I don't know if y'all remember that, which I was tempted to do again today. But I'm going to try best I can. I told Dwayne, I said, pray for me, brother. I'm going to try to deliver this message, which is really a Robert Morris message. But I really think there's some truths in this that honestly is going to set some people free. Let me preface this message with this scripture that's found in Luke chapter 17, which is appropriate to share as we approach Thanksgiving, and it segues beautifully into today's topic. So let me briefly just put this scripture out there. In Luke chapter 17, look at what is recorded here. And this Jesus was moving from city to city, and he was in a border of, between Galilee and Samaria, and he goes into this area, into this village, and it says that as he entered a village, ten men, all lepers, met him. And they kept their distance, but raised their voices, and they kept their distance because they had this disease that really you were very much put outside the city. You were put outside, away from people, and when you got near people, you were to yell afar off because you were not supposed to get close to people because you may contaminate them with this highly contagious disease of leprosy. And so these men met him, and they cried out to him, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And it says that taking a good look at them, Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. So he had an instruction for them to do. Many times when we come to Jesus, there's something for us to do. He involves us in the process. And look what happened. It says that they went, and while they were still on their way, they became clean. Now, it's interesting because when you look at the Greek of that word, it's got a different meaning than what you'll see in a moment. I'm going to share with you, okay? So they became clean, which means they physically were healed of their leprosy, this physical condition. Look at verse 15. One of them, one of the ten, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. I just think this is very interesting because, in a sense, he was kind of a tithe. He was a tenth of the group. He was one tenth of them, turned and came back. And when he came back, something special happened. Look at verse 16. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful, he couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, were not ten healed? Where are the nine? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider? Look at what happens next. Then he said to him, get up, go your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. Now that's in the message. You look at different translations of that. King James, it says, your faith has made you whole. Not clean, but whole. And it's a different word. What it meant was a completion. There was something more than the physical that happened to this one that returned. This one that acknowledged and gave praise and offered thanksgiving to Christ and acknowledged what he did. Something different happened than just a physical healing. There was something internal that happened. And another scripture actually just uses the word saved. Your faith has saved you. So something supernatural happened beyond just the supernatural, the physical, but something spiritual happened in that. And I want us to see this because what God is more interested in today is not just the physical. Maybe put it to you this way. Not just meeting your needs or your physical needs or helping you get your light bill paid and all those things. But God is interested in something happening on the inside of you. He's not just interested in you saying, okay, you told me to go show myself to the priest. So I'm going to obey and do what you did, told me to do. And look at this. Look at the results. Wow, I'm clean. And I'll keep on going. In other words, I got what I need on Sunday morning. And now I'm just going to go on my way on Monday morning. And I'm going to be about my business. And then I'll come back in next Sunday. And I'll get something else I need. And then I'll just go on my way. It's all about getting my needs met. No, God wants more than that kind of encounter with Him. He wants you to experience Him on the inside, where you come back, you acknowledge, you say, I'm stepping back and realizing, first, before I do anything else, the first thing I want to do is acknowledge who you are. Not just what you did, but who you are, and allow you then to do something even greater in my life. Anybody getting this, okay? So when we think about Thanksgiving, we need to think about the fact that, hey, there's something supernatural that happens with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, we talk about Thanksgiving. We're full of thanks, so we're thankful, and because we're full of thanks, we give thanks. And we try to express that, but thanksgiving is not just words. Thanksgiving is because we're full of thanks. There's something that's happened on the inside of us, and we express it through our words to others, and that's what we'll do this week. But it really represents something more than that that happens on the inside. It's not just words. And what God wants to do, He wants to do something on the inside of us that transforms us and really completes us. And so I want to talk about this, and I just want to preface that with that, and we're going to come back and kind of tie that in at the end of this. But I want us to dive into this idea of the principle of first. And this is probably one of the best messages as we talk about life, money, and hope. Now, this is kind of the deep end of the pool, so come on, put on your floaties, all right? Take a deep breath. But what I'm going to deliver, it may sound I don't want to present it as it's tough, because really it's just truth is all it is. It's truth, and the truth, honestly, will set you free. The truth will change your life. Anybody believe that? And what I'm going to share with you, not just the word of Robert Morris, it's actually the word of God. It's God's word. I'm going to show it to you, this principle in God's word that's actually all the way from the beginning to the end of God's word, that when we put God first in our life, everything comes into order. And I'm not saying that we're not going to have problems or we're not going to have difficulties, but I'm saying there is going to be an order to our life. And let me put it this way. When God is not first, everything is out of order. So let's look at a scripture that's found in Exodus chapter 13. And the scripture says this: Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Consecrate to me. That word consecrate simply means set aside. Consecrate to me all the firstborn. The firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. Now look at this. Look at this declaration, this declarative phrase in the Hebrew. It is mine. He's saying, it belongs to me. Look what it goes on to say in verse 12. That you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. Again, very, very declarative of what he's saying there. Look at verse 13. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. We're going to talk about the difference in these animals in a moment. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So he's saying that of the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you do not redeem it, you shall break its neck. In other words, if you're not going to give the first back, you're still going to lose it. You need to think about that. And we're talking about tithing at the end of this message, but it relates to this, and it's exactly the same. If you don't bring it to God, you'll lose it. In other words, if you don't give God first, if you don't give Him the 10%, it's better to give Him the 10% and Him bless all your funds than to lose it. And this is what he's saying, that if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. Let me give you this principle. Write this down there in your notes. The first must be sacrificed or redeemed. Just stay with me. This will kind of get more clear as we go through this. The first must be sacrificed or redeemed. And that's what we just read. In this case, we're talking about the firstborn. It's got to be sacrificed or redeemed. So, question is, how do you know which to do? Do you sacrifice it or redeem it? Well, the scripture here has given two animals, the donkey and the lamb, exemplary of two classifications. And the donkey represents the unclean, and the lamb, the clean. Now, if your clean animal has a firstborn, you sacrifice it to the Lord. And if your unclean animal has a firstborn, you're to redeem it or purchase back because the Lord owns it. It must be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean animal. So if your clean animal has a firstborn, it must be sacrificed. If your unclean animal has a firstborn, it must be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean animal. Now you say, well, what in the world does all this represent for us today? Well, let's talk about the way you and I were born and see what this represents. When you and I were born into this world, spiritually speaking, would you say that we were born clean or unclean in our spiritual condition before God? Anybody? We're unclean, right? We were born unclean. The Bible declares that we were born in sin. And sin and iniquity, we were formed. We have a sin nature. We have a bent towards sin. Let me ask the experts in the room. Parents, your children. So your children, did you have to teach them to be bad? No. It came naturally. Some children more naturally than other children, right? So we have to teach our children to be good. So we were all born unclean. So let me ask another question. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? He was born clean. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He didn't have the Adamic nature of the blood of Adam in him. He was the spotless lamb, right? He came unclean. I mean, he came clean. He had no sin in him. No sin was found in him. So listen to this. He was clean. The clean Jesus had to be sacrificed so that the unclean could be redeemed. I should have got a bigger shout right there from somebody. Think about this. And that's really what this scripture is saying. That's what we just read. That is the spiritual principle behind this. This is a principle to God. Listen to this. Jesus was sacrificed so we could be redeemed. God gave Jesus, he was called the firstborn. He's God's firstborn. He was sacrificed so we could be redeemed. So we're going to relate this to money and tithing as well, but this is what hurts, that people oftentimes talk negatively about tithing because people do not understand the principle behind tithing. We need to see this, that Jesus is God's tithe. You see, you give your tithe first, and here's what we know. God didn't wait to see if we would straighten up or clean up to give his son. He gave his son while we were mocking him, spitting on him, nailing him to a cross. But the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the way you give the tithe. God did not say, wait until your sheep has 10 lambs, and then give me the one that's ugly, that's flawed, that keeps messing up and getting in the garden. No. He said, give me the first one because it takes faith to give the first one. And this principle is all throughout Scripture. And this is the principle that even the Bible says that you can test God in this area. Well, we're not supposed to test God. Well, actually, Malachi, and there you got some extra space to write some extra places in Scripture that you can refer to later. Malachi chapter 3 talks about it, that you can even test me. He says, put me to the test and see if you bring the tithes into the storehouse of God, which always represents the local church throughout Scripture. Bring the tithe into the house of God. That's what it says. The local church is the house of God. Bring the tithe and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And as if he's saying, and if you call right now, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And now look at this. He's saying, for your sake, not for my sake, but for your sake, not for the kingdom's sake, but for your sake. I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Tithing. It's so important to understand the principle behind this. And I'm going to tell you, when we do this, God's word, he says, test me and prove me. I would just encourage you, put God to the test. I encourage you, take 1 year and tithe like God asks us to do for 1 year and see if your life is not better. See if you're not completely satisfied. I mean, it's a money-back guarantee. If you do it for 1 year and you're not completely satisfied, Dwayne said he'd give you your money back. He did. He said. But let me ask you another question. Why did God invent tithing? Why did he invent tithing? See, a preacher didn't invent this. I know that's what you're thinking. A preacher came up with this idea. No, actually, this was God's idea. And God did. Why did God do this? Why did God say, bring your first 10% to me? And some would say, well, it helps support the ministry and helps support the work of the kingdom. And that sounds like a good answer. But let me ask you a question. Do you really think, do you really believe that God needs our money to support his work? I mean, this is a God that can rain down manna from heaven. This is a God that can bring water out of a rock, okay? God doesn't need it. God did not need to invent tithing for his sake. He invented tithing for your sake because it helps you walk, listen to this, in faith. And it's not faith to give the last 10%. It's faith to give the first 10%. Robert Morris shares a story about his son-in-law who, when he first started courting his daughter, he said, you know, he was checking this guy out, and you know, as any father would, you know, background check, you know, met with him, shared his, they have a gun collection and all that, you know how fathers do, you know. But one of the things that was said, his daughter one time was standing around with a group of people in the church, younger people in the church, and they said, your dad is so adamant about tithing, I bet he checks the, you know, what would it be like to date the pastor's daughter? I bet he checks the tithing record for anybody that would date you. And she said, he does. And he says, I do. And I did. And then he said, you know, think about it. And he said, now this might sound a little bit harsh, but really it's in keeping with really what the Bible says about this principle. And he said, why would I want to give my daughter to a thief? If you'd steal from God, why would I give my daughter to a thief? And not only one who would steal according to Scripture, but one who would steal from God because God said, it's mine. That's why God can say, you're robbing me. And if you read Malachi, that's what it says. You say, and people are saying, how can you say we've robbed you? And he said, you've robbed me in this area, in tithe and giving. And then he said, why would I give my daughter to someone who can't even handle money? He said, if he can't handle money, he definitely can't handle my daughter because my daughter's a handful. You know, so he was thinking, you know, I could think about my own parents, my mother, when she started dating my father. Back then it was called courting. It wasn't dating, it was courting, you know. And she watched to see when he wrote out his checks. For those of you that are younger generation, it used to be this piece of paper, you know, we would write, you know, called checks. And she checked to see, is he a tither? Come on, because it represents his character and who he is and how her life's going to be with this guy, right? And so it's extremely important. So listen to this. So the first must be sacrificed or redeemed. Look at the second thing. Write this one down. The first fruit must be offered. The first fruits must be offered. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, of all your income, right? That you're to honor the Lord. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 19 says, "The first of the first fruits of your land shall you bring into the house of the Lord your God." Now notice that word bring. So again, let's just break this down. First fruits, it even says the first of the first fruits. So it wants to make sure you understand it's the first 10%. And then it says, bring it to the house of the Lord. And then he says, you're to bring it. God never uses the word give in this area because you can't bring what doesn't belong to you, right? When he talks about tithes, he only uses the word bring because you can't give what doesn't belong to you. So you can either bring it or you can keep it. One or the other, and it always says, bring it to the house of the Lord. And you can't, listen to this, you can't designate your tithe. You can't say, I want 5% here and 3% here and 2% here because it doesn't belong to you. We can simply only return it to the Lord, all through Scripture. Now, I believe you can give above the tithe. That's called offerings, and you can designate that, and you can give to universities, you can give to Christian schools, you can give to missionaries, and all those things. Those are wonderful, but the tithe belongs to the Lord. I'm just sharing with you truth, church. It's my job. Now listen to this. When the children of Israel were taking the promised land, he said, bring all the silver and gold from Jericho. Now there was like 10 countries, 10 nations that they had to conquer. And so he said, bring Jericho into the all the silver and gold from Jericho into the house of the Lord your God. Now, why did he not say 10% of it instead of, and he said, bring all of the silver, bring all of it from that? Because Jericho was the first city. In fact, there was somebody that actually decided they would keep part of that, and they went to conquer a smaller area that was not even a challenge, and they were defeated. And they said, what happened? And it was revealed that somebody kept back part of that belonged to the Lord, and nothing else was going to work until they gave God what was his. And what he was demonstrating for us even today, these many years later, is that when that happened, when they gave God the first, they had no problem with the rest. You hearing me? All right? Study it. It's awesome. It's awesome. You think about it. It's all throughout Scripture. This principle is all throughout Scripture. So he said, bring the silver and the gold from Jericho into the house of the Lord, because if you bring it, the rest is blessed. The first portion is the redemptive portion. The first portion, listen to this, has the power to bless the rest. So when you bring it to God, the rest is redeemed, and that is all through Scripture. Someone asked the question, why did God accept Abel's offering and he didn't accept Cain's offering? Remember, we're talking about firstborn and first fruits that belong to God. I want to show you this. This is, again, I just want to share this with you. Genesis chapter 4 says this about that about what happened there. In the process of time, now look at that phrase, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit. Now, it doesn't say first fruits. It says he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Look at verse 4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. It was very easy to see why. See, Cain said in the process of time, it came to pass that he gave an offering. And he was a farmer, but it doesn't say he brought first fruit. He just brought an offering in the process of time. Abel was a rancher, and he brings the firstborn, and God says, I'll accept that, but not that. Because he brought just when he wanted it, how he wanted it, come on, just as I felt like it. Now, this is 2,500 years before the law that this happened. And some people say, you know, we know that tithing is under the law and we're not under the law, but I'm talking about a principle of putting God first. Now, it's under the law that it says do not commit adultery, and that was under the law, but we're not under the law, but we know that that is still wrong, right? Stealing is under the law, and we're not under the law, but we still know that stealing is wrong. We know that it's under the law to honor your parents, and it's the right thing to do. We're not under the law, but we still know it's the right thing to do. So putting God first in your life, it's a principle. So don't dismiss it simply because it's under the law. It's a principle in God's Word. I want to take you for just a moment down through a little bit deeper theology on this passage. I told you we're on the deep end of the pool. Deep breath. Everybody good? It's not just that God would not accept Cain's offering, but he could not accept it. And some of you might be saying, well, I thought God is God and he can do anything. Listen, he can do anything inside his nature. He cannot do things that are outside of who he is. For instance, God cannot lie. The reason God cannot lie is because he is truth. He doesn't just speak truth. He is truth. That's who he is. That's his nature. Let me just share some things with you. Some of this is kind of humorous. God can't change. It's called the immutability of God. The reason God can't change is because if he could change, he could get better, and God can't get better because he's the best. Are y'all still with me? He's perfect just like he is, so he can't change. Here's another one. God can't think the way we think. You may have never thought of this before. The theological word for this is omniscience. There's two words, omni and science. Omni is all, and science meaning knowledge. God has all knowledge. God knows everything. In fact, God knows everything at the same time. Now, if you think about that, that'll trip a breaker. You know what I'm saying? It's too big for us to understand that. One of the reasons is this. We think we're trying to figure something out. Listen, God, when he thinks, he's never trying to figure things out. He never had a moment where he said, nothing ever just occurred to God. God never said, you know what I just thought of? I just thought of something I've never thought of before. Huh, how about that? No, God already knows everything at the same time. He's never had a eureka moment. Oh, hey, I just thought of something new. God can't think the way that we think. Isaiah says, God said in Isaiah, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts as the heavens are from the earth. Come on. He doesn't think how we think, right? His thoughts are higher. So there are some things that God can't do. So let me tell you some things that God can't do as it relates to Cain's offering. God can't be second. He can never be in second place because His word says that he is first place. In fact, the Bible describes it as preeminence. I had a long scripture I was going to share with you, and I'll share that with you another time. Talk about the preeminence of God. He is above all, in all. He is preeminent. He's above all. He is first of all. He's even before the first, he's first. He always was, always is, and always shall be. That'll blow your mind too. Think about that. He always has been. He's first. And we'll say sometimes we're going to put God first in our life, which is a good analogy, but let me just say that if God is not first in your life, he's still first in the universe. Your order did not change his order. He is still first. The reason God couldn't accept Cain's offering is that it was an offering that was not first. He couldn't accept it. So Cain brought an offering in the process of time, and God said, I can't accept that. Cain gave what he wanted when he wanted, and God said, that's not the way to do it. So first fruit must be offered. Let me talk very quickly on this third point. Write this one down. Number three, the tithe must be first. The tithe must be first. Why? It's simple. Because the tithe belongs to God, and God is first. So the first belongs to God, and the first fruit belongs to God. The firstborn belongs to God, and the first fruit belongs to God, and the tithe belongs to God. Leviticus chapter 27, 30 says this, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. It's God's property. It's holy. It's set apart to the Lord. So the tithe belongs to God. And some would say, well, it all belongs to God. Yes, it does all belong to God, but he's not asking for it all. He set apart the tithe for us. Now listen to this. This is good. So that we can walk in faith, because it takes faith to give the first 10%. He wants you to walk in relationship where you trust him, and he wants to bless you, but you have to step out. You have to trust that he's going to provide for you and bless you for you to do it this way. And God's way works. It's really about math. I don't know how y'all are with math. I'm not the best with math. I mean, some people look at math this way. They say if you go out to shop during Christmas season and it's 25% off, it's a good deal. If it's 50% off, some of you think that's free, right? You get one, that's the same as get one free, 50% off. And some of you think if it's 75% off, you're making money, which is probably part of the problem. You might be having some issues there. But we just had a landscaper help us with putting a fence up here on the other side of this, our secondary building here. And let's just say you owned a landscaping company, and the landscaper comes, and he's going to give you a bid for the job, and he says, okay, I've got this much in materials and this much cost in labor, and I've got this much cost in profit. I'm going to make this $1,000 profit. And so let's say when it comes time, you're going to pay him, and let's say there's $1,000 involved there, and you give him $10 $100 bills, okay? Let's say you're the landscaper, right? You get $1,000 of profit, and that's what the tithe is. It's on your profit, not your labor and materials, but your profit. So you have the $100. And so let's say it's paid in $100 bills and it's placed in your hand. Let me ask you, which one is the Lord's? It's the first, right? It's the first. Which first? It's the first one to leave your hand. So put it to you this way. So it's not just about the amount, it's about the order. So if you have your money there and you say, okay, I'm going to pay my mortgage, and then I'm going to pay my utilities, and then I'm going to pay my food, and I'm going to pay for clothing, and then I'm going to pay God's part. No, you didn't give God the first part. That went to the mortgage company. Right? And the mortgage company doesn't have the power to bless your finances, but God does. God says, I want the first part, right? So some of us pay the mortgage, pay utilities, pay for food, pay for clothes, and we go, uh-oh, there's not enough left over for God. Guess what? God doesn't accept your leftovers anyway, right? I'm just giving you truth. I'm telling you this is going to set you free. Listen to this now. He says it very clearly in Malachi chapter 2, for you to bring, he says that you bring the animals that are blind and lame, and he says, I do not receive them. All he can receive is the first. I'm not trying to be legalistic, okay? I'm talking about in your heart, God has to be first. Something has to happen on the inside. This isn't about following a bunch of rules, but it's like the leper who encountered God. Something happened on the inside and said, the first thing I've got to do is acknowledge God. Are you getting this? So here's what many people would say, that there's some think that there's a theological issue with this and haven't really studied, but understand this. This represents Jesus, who is described in the New Testament as firstborn and as first fruit. And someone would say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Can I just say politely, you'll never be able to tithe until you tithe, because tithing is what breaks the curse and rebukes the devourer. I heard an amen out there from somebody. Thank you. That's a tither. In other words, if you don't tithe, the next time, what happens is you can't ever get ahead. Something's always breaking. Some of you have experienced that. So God does it, listen to this, for your good. He wants to bless you. Now, think about this. Some of you give with checks. Some of you give online. Some of you receive, and then you pay things out online. And let's just say, you do that, and the first thing you do, you pay your tithe, and you pay these things. And let's say I did that, and I know we're going to pay the tithe first. And then I look, and let's say one day I get up, and I'm real busy, and I didn't get everything done. And I look online, and oh, no, Kim has went to the grocery store, and she bought groceries before I got the tithe paid. Oh, Lord, Kim, we're cursed now. You know, no, that's not what I'm saying, okay? Don't misunderstand. I'm talking about being legalistic. What I'm talking about is in our heart, we have got to put God first. Listen to what I'm saying there. So the question is he first in your heart? And you say, yes, but you're talking about tithing and finances. Listen to this. Jesus said, this is an extra one to write down, but Jesus said this. Jesus said this. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he's the one that connected the two. So we could say all day long he's first in our lives, but if he's not first in this area, he's really not first in our heart either. Jesus connected that. I want to show you one more scripture here. I'm talking about firstborn, sacrifice, or redeemment. Exodus chapter 13 says this, "So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' that you shall say to him, 'By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.' And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast." And what this is talking about, let me just share this with you. So, the scripture here is saying that one day there may be this scenario that happens where you're there, you're at the house, your son comes in and he says, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, the sheep has given birth, that we're having a lamb, and the family gets all excited, they run out to see this new lamb. And everybody said, "Oh, isn't it precious? What they don't know is the dad grabbed a butcher knife on the way out the door to the barn. And they're saying, "Oh, isn't it wonderful? The beautiful miracle of life. Isn't it wonderful?" And as they're all admiring it, suddenly the dad reaches down and takes the lamb and he slits the throat. To which the young boy is probably thinking, "Don't mess with dad. I don't know what that lamb did, but I'm going to make sure I don't do it." And the Bible is basically saying here that when this son gets older, and now imagine this, now the son's older, he's in college, he's understanding finances, and the dad says, "Hey, we got this ranching business, but I need you to take over the books and help us with the books." And the son's managing the books, right? Just kind of helping you see the scene here. And the son is looking at the numbers, and he comes into his dad, and he says, Dad, can we talk? Can you leave the butcher knife outside the room while we talk, Dad? So, Dad, you know, just kind of looking over the books and the numbers, and I don't know if you know, we are in the ranching business. I don't know if you realize you do this. I mean, I know we all have blind spots, Dad. You know, you may not be aware of this, but it seems like when we have a newborn lamb, you kill it. My dad, I'm looking at the books, and it's really cutting into our profits, Dad. I mean, last year, you killed, I don't know if you realize this, you killed 73 sheep, Dad. And I just got to ask you, why are you doing this? And at that point, the Bible says that you're to sit the child down and say, "Let me tell you something about your family, about our family, that you may not know." You see, we were not always in the ranching business. We were slaves, son. We didn't have any cattle. We didn't have anything. We were enslaved, we were in bondage, and we had no way out. We had no way of escape. But see, son, God, with his mighty hand, reached out, and he rescued us, and he redeemed us, and he made us his own. You see, son, everything we have is because of what God has blessed us with. Therefore, I will gladly give him the first of everything in my life. He owns it all. Everything we have belongs to him. You know, Robert Morris said that this same thing happened to him many years ago. He was in his office. He was writing checks out, and he had written out the check for the church. He'd set that aside, and he was writing other checks, and his son comes in. And his son sees this check, and he's understanding numbers now. And he says, "Dad, why are you giving so much money to the church?" And he thought about the scripture. And he said, "Son, come here, I need to tell you something." And he said, "I took him and I set him on my lap. And I said, 'Son, there's something I need to tell you. There's something you don't understand, you don't know about your daddy. You see, your daddy wasn't always a Christian. Your daddy wasn't always a good person. Your dad was a bad man, bad person. And I was trapped, and I didn't know how to stop it. I didn't know how to change myself. But God reached down and did for me what I couldn't do for myself, and He saved me. And I'm a changed person, and everything I have belongs to Him. And that's why I give." Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And I just want you to have an open heart before the Lord and ask God, "What are you saying to me through this message?" And here's what I know. God doesn't just want to bless your finances. He wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your kids and your family. Can I just say this? God loves you. And He wants you to live your life by this principle. If it means getting rid of something to be able to do it His way, I'm telling you, His way works. This isn't my message. This is God's message. And Jesus then said this. I'm going to go back to Scripture again where He said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see, Jesus doesn't need your treasure. What He really wants is you. He wants your heart. He wants you. Father, thank You for Your word today. We're so thankful. Like the leper who came and returned to You and acknowledged You and said, "First things first, I've got to recognize not just what Jesus did or what He can do for me, but I must recognize who He is and become a worshiper of Him." That He wants something more than just the physical, more than just material. But He wants, God wants something to happen on the inside of me. He wants a change in my life. He not only wants to heal me, He wants to save me. Lord, help us to come to You in that way and acknowledge You, giving You thanks, being thankful, because You've given us a new life, a new beginning. Call it being born again. And You're the firstborn. You're the firstborn, God. But we thank You that through You redeeming us, we have life. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. My heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to give an opportunity to pray for those and pray with those who are saying today, "I need Jesus to have all of me. I need to give Him all of my heart, all of my life. I believe Jesus has the ability to make you brand new on the inside." And that's exactly what happens. It's a new beginning. It's a new you. You're no longer who you were. You're now who He says you are, because He has the power to do that. If you're ready to do that today, you're ready to invite Him into your life and let Him be the Lord of all your life, I want to pray a prayer with you. If you're watching online, if you're here in this building right now, I want to just pray with you. But if that's you and you say, "Pastor, would you pray that prayer? Would you include me in that prayer?" I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but right where you're sitting, I want to pray with you. If you just slip up your hand and say, "That's me. Yes, good job. Awesome. Awesome. Good job. Yes, very good." Folks, if you are watching online, would you join us as well? Could we just pray a prayer out loud? Would everybody just pray this for support right now? Pray something like this from your heart. Just pray, thank you, God, for loving me so much that you gave your son to pay for all my debt, to redeem me, to give me life. By faith, I accept Jesus. I accept him as my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. I'm asking you, God, come on the inside and make me brand new. I turn from my way and I come to you. I invite you now to be my Lord. With all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. Father, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer. Thank you for changed lives. Thank you, Lord God, for having your rightful place in our life. Now, Lord God, thank you for reordering our life, bringing order to our life, peace to our life as we follow you. Thank you for changing us from the inside out, God. And Lord, I'm so thankful today for how you come and you change our lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you have called us to do as a church, Lord. So thankful, God. I pray, God, your blessings upon us as a people, God, that we would be full of thanks. God, that we would be overflowing, Lord, with what you've done for us on the inside, that it will so affect others all around us. Lord, even this week as we connect with family and friends and loved ones, God, Lord, may they encounter your presence because, God, you're present in us and working through us, God. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.